Welcome to the 2 Minutes Podcast presented by BioSteel. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. Welcome back to the 2 Minutes Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall, where we are sponsored by BioSteel. And today we have a very special guest. He is a legend in the North Side. He is a legend all over Canada. And he is one of the great human beings you'll ever meet in your life. He works for Roger Sportsnet, and he is the ringside host for your Edmonton Oilers. We'd like to welcome Gene Principe to the 2 Minutes Podcast. Gene, how's it going?
It's going good. Doggone it. That's quite a 2 Minutes podcast introduction for me. That's very nice of you. And you know what? I'm born and raised Edmontonian, so still hanging out in the city and enjoying it after some trials and tribulations, like so many people through their careers. But it's going great, and happy to start 2023.
Yes, no, you're our first guest for the new year, so we appreciate that, and it's pretty exciting to kind of connect with you here. We got to connect at the Winter Classic on Boxing Day, so it was really nice to kind of see you there. And I kind of said to you and said in our post, Gene, before we get into everything here, is one thing I love about you, and I heard this a lot, but I got to witness it firsthand, was every single person that came up to you, you took the time to have a conversation with them. Didn't matter how long it was. I think that's really special. You know, you think obviously everyone's kind of like that, but you know, just you coming in and everyone just, you know, loving to have a conversation with you, but you know, the passion that the city has for the Oilers too. But I can't thank you enough for just witnessing that. And it says a lot about your character as well.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I mean, I love people. You know, oftentimes people ask me, you know, what's the best part of your job? What's the worst part? And
yeah,
I think when my kids were younger, I would say travel, because you got to travel to so many great places and, you know, watch hockey or watch other sports. But the worst part is, you know, you're missing a lot at home. Now that the kids are a little older and don't miss me as much, if at all, I would say for sure the clear-cut answer would be, you know, meeting people. And yes, that does include the likes of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Sidney Crosby and the players that, you know, we cover. But it's meeting people like you and meeting people, you know, at the Winter Classic, the Boxing Day Classic. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of what it's all about, is making moments and making memories. And you do that through connecting with people in, you know, at the rink, at the local grocery stores, at an outdoor rink. So I was happy and really privileged to be a part of it. A very small part, but to be a part of it.
Yeah, it was very special for sure. And it's cool because Frank loves to he loves the whole mom and pop feel of that tournament. And obviously it's when you get it in the hands of some other people and whatnot, when you're doing a good cause too, good things happen. And it's always down a trickle effect, as we were just saying before we jumped on. There's another hockey league here in the city. We're going to do a 4-day tournament. And if what had started there starts a trend in a beautiful way, then at the end of the day, like the real winner, like you said in the telecast, was the Ben Stelter Foundation is the real winner here. And we miss him and we love him. And, I got to kind of connect with his father here, and just a great family, as you know, and our hearts are always with them every single day. So it was again to have great to have you a part of it. And that's going to be a tradition. The money for that tournament every year is going to go to that foundation. So, but as we jump into things, Gene, kind of where do things start with you? Or do you at times still kind of pinch yourself to see, where things started from when you first started to where things are now, and how excited are you to be in the role that you are, and obviously, putting smile on people's faces at home when they're watching the game as well too.
Well, that's nice of you to say, for sure. I mean, I think that, when I was a kid growing up, being Italian, soccer was sort of, my first love. I played soccer. I played hockey. I played other sports, whether it be at school or for a club or just with, friends, touch football, for example. But it was soccer that was kind of my first love. And I dreamed of wearing the Italian national jersey and maybe playing. Back then when I was a kid, the North American Soccer League was the big soccer league in North America. And, God bless him, Pelé, who just recently passed. I remember on Sunday afternoons going to Commonwealth Stadium and the Edmonton Drillers would take on the New York Cosmos. And so that was kind of my first passion. And I remember I was about 15 and I tried out for the under 16 Alberta team and I got cut. And I kind of went, maybe this soccer thing might not work out. And I always, and to this day, I love sports. And I used to just watch sports all the time. And it was kind of twofold. I watched it because I wanted to watch the athletes, the teams. But I really found myself fascinated by the announcers. And for me, it was such a thrill to listen to certain announcers and then find out who they were and watch the game sort of as a fan, but as someone who maybe envisioned one day of being a broadcaster. So when I got cut from that team, I thought, maybe this is a good time to go to Plan B.
Yeah.
And, Plan B was being a broadcaster. And so, local kid, we graduated from the same high school. And
yeah,
I went to NATE, the Northern Institute of Technology, and took a 2-year course in radio and television arts. And here we are, pretty close to 36 years later, and still plugging away. And I love the job that I have. I mean, lots of young kids dream of playing in the NHL. That I never really had that dream. I knew I couldn't quite skate well enough.
Yeah.
But I did have the dream of working in the NHL. And so for me, it's been great to do it in my hometown, to see so many people. You mentioned off the top about the love for the Oilers. Just when I think I can't be amazed by the love in oil country for the hockey team, I'm always astounded by something new, something fresh, a new group, a new story. So it makes being a small part of the broadcast and being able to sometimes entertain people a real joy in my life.
Yeah, no, it's cool because what I love about you a lot is like the positive atmosphere that you bring, not only to the broadcast, but you can kind of see it when you guys were in the locker room and kind of had to take that back a bit with COVID, and now you guys are back in the locker room, is that positive approach. I wish there was more of that in the game, because we've definitely had some players on our podcast where they talked about the difference between a Gene Principe and someone in a different world or in a different role or whatnot, of just that positive atmosphere of yes, there's sometimes you do got to ask the tough questions, but it's coming from a different light. And that's kind of what our podcast is kind of about, is there's so many different podcasts out here, but we just try, like my mentor for me was Bob Stauffer, so as you know him very well. So Stauff is very a very good person, and he's my mentor. And you know, and when I wanted to get into doing this, I was, you know, learning and getting advice from him. Is there someone along the way that is a mentor for you that, you know, really helped you out and guiding you in the direction that you're in today?
You know, along the way, I've had so many great bosses. And I think one of my first bosses, certainly people in Edmonton, those of us a little bit older would recognize the last name Hogle. So Bruce Hogle was a long time news director at CFRN-TV. And he gave me sort of my official first job. I was a videographer back in 1987 in Grand Prairie. His son, Steve, was the assignment desk editor who would basically work with the reporters, assign them stories, discuss angles, approaches. And I remember, you know, here I was just turned 20 and I was living in Grand Prairie and felt really isolated. I didn't even know if I could work a camera, but I had to do that and be a reporter as well. And I always felt a bit of a disconnect because to that point, I'd always gone to school or to work and always been part of a group. And now you were kind of on your own. So it was really different. And especially at that age, it was a bit of a challenge, but I always felt like Steve made me feel like I was as important as the guy or gal sitting across from him, discussing a story on City Hall, for example. And then along the way, I've had, you know, I feel like someone who does a speech and doesn't want to forget anybody. But, you know, Larry Isaac was kind of my first producer back in 1998, was we're pushing 25 years of hosting Oilers hockey. And, you know, I wasn't young per se. I was 31, but still, you know, there's a lot to learn at that age as, you know, we continue to learn. And I've worked with, you know, countless hundreds of unbelievable people. I know that it's a bit cliche to say that when, you know, we do our broadcasts and currently working with Louis and Jack and some nights Arne Ryan Singh, we always try and be the best team. I know you've got the two teams on the ice or the two teams on the football field or the two teams at the baseball diamond or stadium. So I've had so much help along the way that I think sometimes when young kids watch me now, they might think, oh, look at him, you know, he's doing this or he's doing that. But boy, there was a lot of molding that needed to occur for me to get to where I am today. And it never really stops. I'm always still, maybe you learn less lessons because, you know, I'm 55 now. Hopefully I'm learning a few lessons I needed to learn at 30, but it doesn't mean you ever stop learning. And so, it's really been honestly a dream come true and a privilege for me and a pleasure to be able to service Oiler fans and NHL fans, you know, throughout North America and for that matter, as you know, throughout the world.
No, it's very beautiful and very well said. And one thing I love is, you know, like since we even started this podcast, like Sportsnet and TSN have been very helpful in getting people on. And I don't think, you know, I think you guys do a good job with this, you know, meaning you, Jack and Louis, you know, but and to the point of the people behind the scenes that we don't see, that we don't know. When I was in the World Juniors here in August, I was kind of hanging around the TSN guys and got to very lucky and very grateful to go for breakfast with some of the team. And as I seen that, I'm thinking like, what is that team like for you too, Gene? Like how many great people and all the great people that are behind the scenes, if you can talk and share maybe a story or about the team that we don't ever see because, you know, they're doing their job behind the camera, but talk about them if you could.
Yeah, you know, I it's wonderful to hear you say that. You know, I would say our crew is approximately 30, give or take a couple. And for anyone that's watched me work, particularly in my openings, I like using props and different sort of storylines. Well, I can't tell you how much help I get with that. And I should give a shout out to my wife and kids because oftentimes my wife is sort of the prop master at home setting me up. I'll say, hey, Karen, do you have, what about this or that? She goes, yeah, I think so. Let me find that. Nice thing of having three kids and still having many of their toys and different parts of their childhood in the house is oftentimes I can repurpose for my own use. But, you know, there'll be opportunities where I come to the rink and I say, you know, here's what I want to do, A and B. And either they make A and B much better and bigger, or they're able to add C and D to it. And that's the producer, that's the director, that's the graphics people, that's the cameraman, camera people, that's the audio people. I mean, honestly, they're Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, we always talk about them, right? Okay, but you know, it's a team that wins. And that's how we feel when we're doing the broadcast. Yes, you see Jack and you see Louis and myself, but there's so many people that make it work and make it seamless. And sometimes there's things that happen, but you know, off air that you're like, oh my gosh, if people could see what that was like. But then when it gets to air, it looks like, wow, no problem. So it's been a real blessing to have people buy in for me to what I want to do, because, you know, whenever you've got somebody engaged in anything in life, then they put their heart, their soul, their passion, their commitment into it. If they're kind of like, don't believe in it or don't like it, you're not going to get the same force behind it. So it's been a great crew of people, but particularly with props, like just people helping me out with the weirdest, strangest things. They're kind of like, what? You need to pardon me.
I think you got drenched a little too much in Seattle.
I did, yeah.
I love how you kind of talked me into it.
Yeah, he took his job a little too seriously. Yeah,
exactly.
But you know, I that's a perfect example of someone who kind of went, what? What do you want me to do? And then by the time we were doing, he was like, I'm all in. I like this. And it was great. You know, it was kind of uncovering something in someone that they don't even know they have, or they don't even know they'll need to use. So I'm really thankful for the group that's helped not only me in openings and intermissions, but Jack and Louie as well.
Yeah, no, I think you guys do a bang up job. And, you know, it's always fun to listen to different broadcasts, because every each one has their own different ways of how it comes across. But it's, you know, and I think with Sportsnet, you guys have done such a great job, and it's very diverse, and there's a lot of inclusion, and, you know, there's just such a great, great vibe with that. And, you know, the people that we've had on our airways here, it's really.
This public service announcement is brought to you by our friends at CDN. Here's a crazy thought. Not all teamwear needs a team logo. Stand out in the crowd and rep your team colors with one of CDN's hockey hats. Listen, these hats are phenomenal. We just got ours a little while ago, and we've been wearing them nonstop. You know when you find a hat you love and you just can't take it off? Yep, that's how we feel with our CDN hat. Every time we wear it out, we get asked, where did you get that hat? I know what you're thinking. How can I get one? Cue the details. Shop online 24/7 at www.wearecdn.ca and use the promo code 2MUTS for 15% off your order. Again, that's www.wearecdn.ca to get your new favorite hat and use the discount code 2MUTS at checkout for 15% off your order. Now back to the show.
So we just want to plug another sponsor who's going to join us this year. That's Brody McIntyre. He's our resident real estate agent.
The closer.
Closer, aka the closer. So Broads, give us a good ad read here of what you know, what people can look for and how they can get a hold of you, and how long you've been in the industry for too.
Hey, we'll keep her quick, man. I've been doing this since 2004. Do 99% residential, kind of the greater Edmonton area. I work with REMAX, so we have the biggest market share out here. So yeah, it's a good time to be alive and in real estate. Lots going on and turning to a little bit of a buyer's market, but we can help you with entry-level housing. Investments are really big right now. Rents are high. So if you want to invest, it's a great time, man. You're getting big money on rentals. So give me a shout anytime. REMAX Professionals, 780-777-3694.
Perfect. All right, short and sweet.
Well done, Brody.
Look at the Broads coming in the closer. So, if you guys are looking at getting a hold of Broads, just give him a shout. You also can follow him on Instagram and Facebook. He's in our bio. So if you're wondering what his handle is, just look at our bio. It's in there as everyone else is. The 2MUTS podcast is presented by BioStill. Use promo code 2MUTSPOD25, that's 2MUTSPOD25, all capitals, to get 25% off your order at checkout when you go to biostill.ca. Also, the 2MUTS podcast is presented by SeatGeek. Use promo code 2MUTSPOD, all capitals, that's 2MUTSPOD, to get $20 off your purchase at checkout. cool. So we'll transition to the Edmonton Oilers here, Gene, and kind of the current events now. But where's your level of concern at with this team as we sit here in the new year and they're still kind of chugging along and trying to find that consistency in some which way?
Yeah, I guess, they beat Calgary just after Christmas, the Christmas break or the holiday break. And that's, game Stuart Skinner made 47 saves. And you're like, great, we got it. Seattle was, one of those nights where you don't often see one team dominate the other. And then they come back on New Year's Eve and probably could have or should have won against Winnipeg and don't. So there's still a little bit of sort of muddling as I think consistency is sort of the key term that I've heard Jay Woodcroft and his players often say. And I think they're starting to find that more and more, particularly defensively with both Stuart Skinner and Jack Campbell. We'll have to wait and see what the determination is on Leon Draisaitl. Hopefully it's just days and not anything more than that. I'm not worried about, to be honest with you, I have no concern about making the playoffs.
Yeah.
That to me is not an issue. Getting first is, because when they play in LA here in about 3 or 4 games time, that'll be the midway point of the season. So, that's a big chunk.
Yeah.
I think first is still possible. But if it's kind of the win two, lose one, get an overtime loss, it might be more challenging to get into first place. But I don't think there's going to be like any kind of rush in April, like, oh my gosh, we got to go, 5-1-1 to make the playoffs. They'll be there. I'm more interested in seeing how they play in that final week or two before the postseason.
Yeah.
And I maybe I'm going too much off last season, but I certainly see this team as being, in my mind, a conference finalist. I don't want to say at minimum, because then it sounds like if they don't make it, it's a disappointment. But hey, they got, you can argue,
two of the best players in the game.
Five players. Yeah. So it depends on where you live and what you see and what you think. But with those two guys leading the charge, I really like their chances. And, we've seen teams that you wouldn't think would have a real shot at it get there. Colorado struggled to get through round two and then got through round 2, 3, and 4. So they'll be right there and challenging for the cup come April, May, and hopefully June.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts on Darnell Nurse. I think he's a tremendous leader. I think at times maybe he doesn't get enough credit, as he probably should. And you're around him on a daily basis and have been around him since he's been with the organization. Can you talk about what Darnell Nurse is, the player, the person, and kind of what he brings to that group every single night?
Person-wise, I love Darnell.
Yeah.
He's really, one of the questions I get a lot, and I'm sure sometimes you get it too, is like, who's not nice, or who's kind of a jerk, or who, or vice versa, who's really nice, and who do you get along with the best? And, honestly, like, I look at the current Oilers, and, if I walk around the room and go stall to stall, I mean, there's nobody that's someone you would dislike. Far from it.
I get
different personalities.
Yeah. It's interesting because, Gene, I get that question a lot, the people I have too, and I'm like, they are actually genuine, really good people. Like, yes, they get to play hockey for a living, but when the camera's away or, they're not on the ice, they're as humble as you're going to ever find with them. And it's coming on podcasts and it's giving back and things that we don't see, in the charitable work that they do too. But sorry, I cut you off.
But I echo what you're saying, and Darnell is a first-class kid, wonderful family, used to watch his dad when he played in the Canadian Football League. And so it's kind of neat because the Oilers just came off a father's trip recently. And, when I first started covering the Oilers, I was 31. So I'd be a little bit older than some of the players, but there were some players that age or a little bit older. And then you get to the point where you're like as old as the parents and in some cases older than the parents. Most of them are kind of in their 50s and 60s, depending on when that particular kid was born, if they're the youngest or the oldest or somewhere in the middle. But Darnell, you're talking about charitable acts. Darnell's wonderful that way, ambassador, free play for kids. He has set up scholarship at his old school where he went to back in Hamilton. He's always got lots of time for the community. And I love that about somebody. They're not a, open the door in October, September, and then close the door, you know, 24 hours after the last game of the season. As for the player, I mean, Darnell for sure is a number one defenseman. You know, he had a breakthrough year a couple seasons ago offensively, and I think he provides a lot of nastiness that's there that if you're an opposing player, you're not quite sure what you might get if you if you poke and prod too much. And I just – Darnell's very hard on himself. I think that all of these NHLers, and then if you push up to elite NHLers, that's just kind of the way they have been. And I know it's a cliche, and one you hear all the time is, well, you know, I'm my own worst critic. And I think sometimes people don't necessarily I don't know if they don't believe it, but they wonder, is that true?
Yeah.
It is true. You take Connor McDavid, you take Leon Draisaitl, you take Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Darnell Nurse, pick a player, any player, any team, any league. There's nothing that anyone can write or say to them that they aren't already sort of thinking. Now, then it crosses over into what's fair criticism and what's not. And that's a tricky line these days with social media. It used to be you would say it on radio or hear it on TV or write it in a newspaper. But now, as you know, there's so many different avenues. But for me, I got lots of time for Darnell, and he always is a friendly, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know, hey, I like those shoes, or that belt doesn't match that jacket. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
To me, he's a real leader. He'd be in the top 2-3 guys on that team when it comes to leadership and being able to kind of vocalize and verbalize what he feels the team needs to do.
Yeah, no, very well said. I had one encounter away from the rink with him, and a very stand-up person. And, you know, it was kind of right after a good friend of ours, Alexander Petrovich, moved on to an organization. We were talking about him the other day, and so Darnell knew that I kind of knew him. And so just a genuine, just wanted to ask how he was doing and family-wise, and it was really nice. And so kind of another player I like to talk about. I'm not going to give up where he lives, but my uncle lives in the same area as this player, and that's Evander Kane. And him and his family have done a great job walking themselves into the community. But we also saw a special story about with him just recently, and you kind of had him on the panel to kind of talk about it and the giving back part and how important that is. You know, he's missed dearly on the ice, but you know, in ways, God's blessing him with, you know, helping some people off the ice in that time. And that probably fills up his cup of tea. But talk about the person again for, you know, Evander Kane and what he's brought to this organization, even since he came here last year.
Well, it's another great example of somebody giving back. And I think you make a great point. You know, if he's playing every second day and practicing and traveling, it's not that he wouldn't be thinking about giving back and helping, but he just might not physically have the time to sort of give to people himself. Not about, well, here's something, here's a bunch of clothes, go wear them. You know, he can actually help get people, you know, dressed and fed. And you know, I covered Evander throughout his career, mostly when he was in San Jose, because the Oilers would play the Sharks a little bit more than when he was, you know, in Atlanta or Buffalo or Winnipeg. You know, my dealings with him have always been really good.
Yeah.
He's always been friendly, accommodating, easy to talk to. Did some stuff with him via Zoom through the pandemic. And then he became an Oiler. And I thought he acquitted himself quite nice. You know, he was sort of prepared for the onslaught of not unfair questions, but, you know, serious questions that have necessarily nothing to do about his goals, assists, and points. And I thought he did well from the moment he kind of arrived in Edmonton. And it was wonderful as an Edmontonian. It was wonderful to hear him say, hey, I felt welcome my first few steps off the plane. I felt really a part of the community. And I think we're starting to see that more and more.
Yeah.
And I think he's won people over. You know, listen, you and I have access to people. We get to see or hear. How many people will meet Evander Kane? You know, I don't know how many, but if Edmonton's got 1 million people, they certainly won't all be meeting him. So they have to go off what they hear, what they see, what they're told. And we have the opportunity to go off our own personal interactions. And, he's been great. Like, yeah. And you know, to further that, I have not seen anything from a teammate kind of going, oh my gosh, you know, like,
yeah,
nothing. I've seen him be a, you know, a leader, which I was one thing that I, that stood out of his opening press conference. He said, I'm going to be a leader with this team. And I think people might've thought, hey, you got a, basically a 5-month contract here. Who knows if you're going to stick around. And it was a huge signing for Edmonton in the off season to have Evander come back. And he is a leader. And I think that Evander's been through enough that when he does stand up and talk, people listen. The injury was unfortunate, but could have been worse. Yeah. So I know everyone's looking forward to a, you know, a happy new year for him getting back on the Oilers. I would say there are maybe, I don't know, 3-4 Evander Kane type players in the NHL.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. There just aren't many of them. Oh. So, but the person has been fantastic. And I've had people come to me and say, you know what, Gene, when he got here, I was kind of like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I read some stuff. I saw some stuff. I heard some stuff. And now they're going, wow, yeah. He sure seems like a nice guy and a real community spirited, good person. I'm like, yeah, I yeah. agree with you. So there is change happening when it comes to Evander's reputation and just what people think of him.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And we were on our podcast. Yes, we were critical. And again, it kind of goes back to what you're saying. You're kind of getting some information that is not probably the best information at times. And then it probably, it was pretty quick when he got here that, you know, what you did here was probably obviously not true. And there is a, you know, a genuine good person there. And I feel bad because again, like, you know, when this happens to athletes and people in the public eye, it's not fair. You know, but, you know, and then unfortunately you got to have to go on a platform to kind of defend yourself. And, you know, we had Tyler Toffoli on our podcast just after he got traded from Calgary, from Montreal to Calgary. And one of the things that stuck out to me is, and he, and I could see it in him doing the Zoom interview, Gene, was he did feel hurt by what was read and said about him after. Because obviously when he left Montreal, Montreal played a bit better. But, you know, not try to, you know, say anything bad about the previous coach. But Martin St. Louis come in and done a really good job there. So it just, it happens. You play a different system. But the stuff that he was being, had to read about himself, like that's tough for any human to read. Oh. You know,
it is. Yeah. And especially nowadays, you know, with the social media stuff, it's just, listen, I'm not the only one, you know, you see somebody's trending and you're like, you know, why are they trending?
Yes.
God forbid they've passed. Have they done something unbelievably bad? Have they done something unbelievably good? Like, you're just not sure what to expect. So it is a different world, but I you know, I remember somebody saying to me about Evander Kane, and I'm not the one necessarily giving him a chance. I cover the team, and they said, well, how many chances does he get? Well, how many chances is too many? Like, what, you know, when do you stop giving society and people a chance? Like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Is it 10? Is it, it depends on the person that you're talking about, and it depends on the person that you are. I'm open to lots of chances because I've been given chances to do things and not necessarily succeeded in the first, second, or third. So I got lots of time for people, and I really got a lot of time for good people. And Evander in Edmonton, what can you say?
Yeah.
What's he done wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Very well. Very well said.
The Two Mutts podcast is brought to you by Free Bars, and Free Bars are arguably the best tasting energy bar. You might have heard Free Bars on the podcast before, and maybe you've tried them at Edmonton's most popular farmers markets. Free Bars focus on three main things for their bars. One, Free Bars are free of priority allergens, including peanuts, nuts, dairy, eggs, gluten, and soy. Second, Free Bars taste great. I was talking to Luke, the man behind Free Bars, and the comments they get while sampling is always positive. Everyone loves how they taste. Three, they are full of healthy and whole ingredients, nothing artificial and no preservatives. Free Bars are made right here in Edmonton, and they are quickly popping up in stores around the city. Free Bars use a mixture of hemp hearts, honey, and gluten-free oats as their base. And then there are the three flavors, chocolate chip, mint chocolate chip, and the popular coconut. Free Bars' list of ingredients is short. Like in the coconut, there's just hemp hearts, honey, gluten-free oats, shredded coconut, and coconut oil. That's it. As school gets back into the swing of things and hockey season starts, parents and kids are bringing free bars to the rink as a healthy, delicious snack. Want to try? Listeners of this podcast will get 20% off with the promo code TWOMUTS. That's one word, TWOMUTS, and the discount will be applied at checkout. Learn more about free bars by visiting us at Strathcona's Farmers Market, Bountiful Farmers Market, and St. Albert Farmers Market, or online at freebars.ca. Want to pick it up at the store? Check out freebars.ca for a full list of our realtors. Don't forget the promo code, TWOMUTS, and have arguably the best tasting energy bar today. That's Free Bars. Coach Rupper here from TWOMUTS. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Now let's grab a knee. Have I got a deal for you? We have teamed up with Manscaped and we can save you some big time coin this upcoming NHL season. Guys, are your sticks and pucks getting hairy in the corners? And gals, is your goalie still using horsehair Coopers? Well, let's wake up! Use the code TWOMUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Listen, we all love to score and we all want to win the cup. Why not do it on a fresh, clean, smooth sheet of ice? That way we all win. Manscaped is the only way to go. Again, the code is TWOMUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Now let's bring it in. Manscaped on three. One, two, three.
You know, we've got some superstars here, as you talked about, and, you know, and like you said, wherever market you're in or wherever you watch, you could say, you know, Connor and Leon are here or whatever, but yeah. I think they're the one and two, you know, and full disclosure, I do cheer for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Gene, so don't hang up on me on the Zoom call, but...
Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm having trouble.
Exactly. But so I get a lot of flack, but you know, we're in Edmonton. I'm born and raised here, so... But I just had a big brother from when I was the Big Brothers Big Sisters program who was a Leaf fan. So that's how I became a Leaf fan at a young age. So, you know, Connor and Leon, what they do on and off the ice. And, you know, it's even as shocking to even know that, like, because I know how much it's eating Leon to not play because what we saw him go through in the playoffs last year. And, you know, we hope he's back here in the very, very foreseeable future here and it's not a long-term injury. But kind of what they bring, you know, in that aspect of the leadership qualities that maybe, and I don't know if there's a story you can share that hasn't been shared before about kind of how great they are to deal with when it comes to the kind of the media side as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, that, you know, you get these kids at 18 and I've got a son who's a little bit younger than Connor and a little bit even more younger than Leon. And you know, I'm not sure he can make his own lunch, let alone, you know, lead a franchise to a Stanley Cup. The one thing I'll say about Connor is, and, you know, I can't say too much about his community minded stuff, but Connor does, you know, the Ben Stelter love affair was beautiful.
Yes.
It is something that was so genuine with Leon and Connor, but especially Connor, you could just see his face light up anytime Ben
was around.
And so that's been a more public one. But I know Connor does things behind the scenes,
yes.
And I'll find out about them. And I will say, hey, either to the PR people with the Oilers or to Connor, say, hey, I heard you did this. And he's like, you know, do you mind maybe not saying anything about that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've heard, yeah, no problem. No problem. He does a lot that people don't see.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, his commitment to the community and the kind of person he's grown into. And I, you know, he's not there yet having his own kids, but you know, one day, God bless him. He and Lauren, you know, will be parents. And I just think he's grown up like, we've seen him evolve as a player, but one of the difficult things is to see someone evolve as a person because you may not get a lot of access to him. But he's a wonderful guy, like a wonderful family. And that tells me a lot. Like when I get to meet brothers or sisters, Connor doesn't have a sister.
Yeah.
When I get to meet parents, you go, oh, okay, now I get where this is coming from. And Leon, you know, I remember when we were in Germany, funny, his dad, Peter, who was in the Olympics and was one of the great all-time German hockey players, he was kind of old school. That was 2018, and they were playing Leon's dad's team, which had to be like the strangest thing, you know, imaginable to go up against your son. And I saw Peter, his father, who was a coach of Cologne at the time, and he's walking outside the dressing room. He's smoking away. I go, Peter, what's going on? He goes, oh, he goes, I'm nervous. You know, we're taking on my son. He goes, I always have a smoke, but I've been smoking a little bit more because of it. And I thought, oh, you know, it was such a nice return home for Leon at that point as he was sort of evolving into this superstar player. And, you know, one thing about Leon is I married a German, so I got to watch how I say this, but they've got this sort of stern, serious look about them. But Leon is really all about the team. And I think sometimes people are kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they like their points. I'm sure they do. But what they like more are their 2 points for the team. And Connor's like that as well. One of the neat things I like with Leon is talking soccer. He's from Cologne or Köln, as they would say it in Germany. So we talk about the Bundesliga and we talked about the World Cup, and you can just kind of see it's you know, these guys talk about hockey all the time. So it's kind of neat to talk about other things with them. I know coming off the Oilers Skills competition, it was neat to talk to Connor about his dog, Lenny.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm in the room, you know, there are some hockey things that we need to ask about these two great players, but it sure is nice to talk about other stuff, I'm sure, for them. And, you know, even for us, but two real leaders in the community and on the ice. And, you know, I think it's wonderful to have greatness when it comes to your skills. But, boy, to be a great person, I mean, one day they're going to be retired.
Yeah.
But they're still going to be great people.
Yeah.
Even if they're no longer doing anything great on the ice. So it's a real treat to know that our city is in good hands with people like this, living here, playing here, and committing to Edmonton.
Yeah, it's good. You know, they give back and they're a part of our community, and they make our community better. And it's one thing I love, and this is why I wanted to have you on, and it's a bucket list thing, and I'm super excited to do this with this interview with you, because I think from watching you, I try to add what I see from you into what we try to do here on this podcast and be about, and that's shining the light on the players and sharing the good stories and you know, being open. It's my favorite part. I had a former player who's not with the organization now, he's a different organization, but he's still in the NHL, and him and I had like a long conversation about this, and it was just like beautiful. And he shared what you had posted on his Instagram account the other day. So that was Matt Benning.
I saw that. Matt was such a great guy. Funny, I went to high school with his dad,
Brian. Right,
Brian. Brian was a real hotshot junior hockey player, and I remember we were going to St. Joe's, and that's a long time ago now. It'll be not quite 40 years, but like 38 and a half. So details can be a little sketchy. But Brian, I think he broke his wrist, and so he came back, and he was in school, and I still see Brian, and like, you would not know he played in the NHL, or that his son played in the NHL, or that another one of his sons, Michael, could play in the NHL, or that his daughter Abby's an elite hockey player as well, and played with the Pandas. Like, just a real kind of, you know, and his dad Elmer, God bless him, was a wonderful guy and a wonderful scout, who's one of his claims to fame is saying, hey, we should draft this Carey Price guy.
So
it's interesting. And Matt was just salt of the earth, young guy. I always, like, people will say, you know, when I see a player go, this may sound a bit weird because I cover hockey, but I kind of look at the person that's leaving. I know what they do on the ice and where Matt was on the pecking order as part of the Oilers blue line. But I thought, wow, that's a good person leaving the team, you know. So it was great to see him catch on with Nashville and then sign a longer-term deal with San Jose. And I did see he posted about the Boxing Day Classic and everything that happened. I thought, good for you, Matt. That was fantastic.
Yeah, and it just says a lot about him, as you know, when you got to know him. And it's just like, him and I had this conversation about just the giving back and the shining the light and stuff like that. And like, people always ask me, they're like, if you ever interview Connor, if you ever was like to talk to him, like, what kind of things would you talk about? I'm like, I don't know if it would be hockey. I think it would be like life stuff. Like what, you know, like what's that relationship like with him and his brother, Cameron? Like how is that? And how much support does he lean on Cameron? And you know, that's obviously his older brother and it's family. And I remember when, you know, Petrovich was playing here and I was very fortunate enough to be a part of like going into that family and friends room that they have downstairs and McDavid's dad with Brian, I think it's Brian, right? Yeah. So he,
You got it.
So he was there and, you know, I was wearing Petrovich's jersey and they thought I was his brother, but just a friend, but just like very humble people. And it was just us and grabbing some food and just like, it just really, and I was right when this podcast was kind of just starting and I didn't know what I was doing when I first started, Gene. I was doing this thing off a cell phone for crying out loud. So people go back and listen to the first episodes. But, you know, I finally got some gear and a little bit of setup here. But, you know, it's all about, for me, shining the light on the players. Because I think at times, like, you know, we there's a lot of pressure that probably goes into what they're doing. And, you know, they are compensated. I understand that. But they're human at the end of the day. And I think that's, again, I cannot reiterate it more. I think you do it the best in the game and that's sharing that. And that's genuine. I honestly, I'm not just saying because I'm interviewing you. Like I say it to Stoff all the time and him and I, like he'll just be one day he'll just drive. He'll be driving. He'll call me and we'll just be shooting the breeze. And, you know, it's just like it's, you know, it's all about that. And it's just, it's cool. Like we had Cam on too. And, you know, it's just it's a great broadcast. You know, it's what you guys do every day and it's fun and letting us, you guys come into our home and genuinely care about, you know, what's going on and bringing smiles to people's faces and the mental health side of it, you know, and that was really prevalent during the pandemic. Right. And, you know, how much that hurt a lot of people and, you know, and I think when people listen to these podcasts, that's their escape when whatever's going on in life. Right. So,
and that's how I approach doing TV, to be honest with you. That's a great point. Like, you know, it was after the, so 06 Cup run to game 7 and then the Oilers, you know, heartbreaking loss to Carolina. The next season they had traded Chris Pronger and, the team was, you know, having a really rough year. And listen, I hope I don't show it on TV, but you know, I'm born and raised in Edmonton and I used to walk down Jasper Avenue when they were winning the Stanley Cups and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't White Avenue back then that we went to. But that's not something I want to show on TV. And, but I found myself going, wow, this is a real tough season. So I thought, you know, I'm generally speaking, I'm kind of the first person they see when the broadcast starts. I thought we got to hit them with positivity. Let's, you know, Oilers fans, they know what the power play is doing, what the penalty kill is doing, what the goals against average is. I don't need to tell them. So now, let's find some spots of positivity and let's blow that up. And so that was the premise. And then I thought, well, let's try and entertain while doing that. And then let's start adding some props to that. And so here we are, you know, 16, 17 years later, still doing that. But I always, to me, listen, in life, in media, everyone's kind of got their role and there are, you know, there are people who have roles that they have to opinionate and criticize and write things that maybe we think are fair or not fair. I'm glad that's not my role. So I always think I love telling stories about people and, you know, the behind the scenes things that we you can't read on a website, you can't see on a stat sheet. And so I take the exact same approach as you do. And, you know, you were talking about the McDavids and we saw Brian recently on the father's trip and he's a real, you know, he's a, I don't want to say he's a serious guy because that makes it sound like, you know, he's not fun or he's not enjoying himself, far from it. But it's interesting to see the dynamic of Cam and Connor, the older brother, as you mentioned, who's, you know, succeeding on his own out east in the financial world. And then there's Kelly, you know, Kelly is, she's kind of the real bubbly, energetic, lively. I remember once in LA, you know, it was after the game and the McDavids were there and I think the Oilers had lost. I'm pretty sure they had lost. I think it might have been overtime or shootout, but they got a point. And Connor came out. You know, his mom was, she wasn't happy about the defeat, but she was happy to see her son, right? Like she was smiling, you know, they live out east. They don't get to see him, you know, as much as I do, for example, on a day-to-day basis. he went over to his dad and, you know, a hug, and then it looked like they were talking some hockey. So I thought, what a wonderful balance here of, you know, mother and father and brother for Connor's support system. I just thought, man, this is a good setup and gives you an idea of who he can go to whenever he wants at his convenience. That's sort of outside the team circle. And so it's, you know, for me, it's been really fun to get to know the parents along the way, you know, and I know someone might say, well, of course they're proud of their kids. They're making X amount of dollars. They're playing in the NHL. No, it's just proud of their kids. Yes. They're just proud of their kids. And you can just see that. And as someone who's a parent with kids, I get it. And so it's just wonderful experience to kind of get a chance to just see things that people don't get a chance to see because they're in the stands or sitting at home watching on TV. But you know what? It's a great job. I really, you know, what do they say? You know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's how I feel.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. We went a little bit long. There's one question I want to ask, and that's, sure, we always do this at the end. What charity is near and dear to your heart, Gene? And if people wanted to support and jump in on the campaign that you have with that charity, who is it and where can they go?
Well, the Sports Central is a charity that I've been involved in. It's located just right beside the old rink, just off of Wayne Gretzky Drive. And Mark Spector, who I work with at Sportsnet, he was a part of the board with Sports Central. And then Mark, he's put together one of the most, I guess, successful off-season golf tournaments here in Edmonton that usually goes kind of late July, the Mark Spector Golf Classic.
Yeah.
And so he got so busy with that, he said, hey, do you want to jump in and be involved on the board? And I'm like, well, sure, you know, it's kids and it's sports. And I remember as a kid, we didn't have a lot, but, you know, I was able to play hockey. But I tell you what, I mean, I couldn't shoot that hard, thankfully, but my sticks, I was so careful that, I didn't want to break them. Because I didn't know how many we could afford past one, maybe two, maybe. And I remember getting a pair of soccer cleats from Italy, and I treated those things. I would shine them after every game and clean them. And so I understood the importance of having equipment to be able to play a sport. And so when I had the opportunity to get connected with Sports Central, I just thought, this is such a natural fit for me to see kids go in there. There's so many volunteers and some employees that are actually part of the Sports Central family that do an incredible amount of work. And real quick, Alfonso Davies used to, when he was a kid, he'd go get his bike there. You know, he had to get to practice. And, and so he's kind of, and listen, we're not trying to create Alfonso Davies. It was one of those things that happened. We're just trying to get kids into sports. And so Sports Central is certainly near and dear to my heart. When I see kids playing sports, when I drive by a hockey rink or a soccer field or a baseball diamond, it just, honestly, it shaves years off my life thinking back to when I was a kid and we would just take off and go play. That we didn't have phones. We had, well, maybe we had cable at the most. We didn't have all these TV channels. We didn't have that stuff.
Yeah.
We just went and played, and it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy when I see kids playing sports. So Sports Central would be it.
Nice. Perfect. All right, Gene. Well, thanks for that. And thank you again for joining us here on the 2 Months podcast. It was an honor to have you, and we'll continue to keep an eye on you through the tube. And, you know, hopefully in the second half here, the Oilers go on a pretty great run, which I think might happen and should happen, you know. So, you know, typically that's kind of things how sometimes they work. Maybe that one win or that one play kind of does it, and getting some guys back healthy will be a huge boost. But thanks again for joining us, and we really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, happy New Year to you and all your listeners and viewers. All the best to everyone in 2023.
Perfect. Thanks, Gene.